Church, we're headed somewhere. We're people of a destiny. We have a destination. Hallelujah. We're not spinning our wheels. Praise God. Amen. Appreciate the way you're worshiping tonight. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Someone been asking me if I was going to keep that deal that I made, that if I went a little long in the morning, I'd cut it real short in the evening. Before you make a deal, you better think about it, hadn't you? And that is my desire. Not that I went long this morning, but that is my desire. But I do want to share something with you tonight. If you turn to two locations in Deuteronomy chapter 16, and then later in the book, Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 16 and Deuteronomy 27. Hallelujah. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Just be in his presence, the communion. His spirit was here this morning. Chapter 16, verse 11. And I normally don't just interrupt the context, but I just want to look at this one thought tonight. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that's within thy gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Now back then, he was speaking of Jerusalem. It wasn't yet known where God would have the city called by his name. But today, that place is right here. Tonight, that place is right here. Right here's the place that he's chosen. And his instruction is to rejoice. Rejoice before the Lord. Rejoice before the Lord. You say, Pastor, you don't know what things are like in my life right now. Maybe not, and I do not minimize that. But God's got an answer for it. Rejoice. Rejoice. And then in chapter 27, I want to give you one more example, because this instruction is given 11 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to remind you, because I'm going to make this point in a moment. Note that we are not in the New Testament. We're in the Old Testament. And yet 11 times this instruction is given. In verse 7 of 27, and thou shalt offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. That's the instruction. And that might have been 3,400 years ago when that instruction was first given. But that instruction is the will of God for us tonight. Rejoice before the Lord. And I want to preach tonight, to rejoice is a choice. To rejoice is a choice. Hallelujah. I want to make the choice to rejoice tonight. Hallelujah. Well, glory. We may not even have to preach this. Let's just worship him. Why don't you lift your heart and hands and just rejoice before the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. 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 To rejoice is a choice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you wish, you can be seated. We started this past week, we started Thanksgiving month, month of November, and I noticed that many believers on Facebook, I don't know if this is something that was orchestrated, but many believers on Facebook started on November 1st and said, I'm thankful for this. And it's only been 3 days so far, but every day they have thanked God for something different. And that's great. God needs to be thanked for the things in our life. Amen. But as I think of that, I think of how true it is that so many have lost their gratitude. You know, when people get soured serving the Lord, when people get discouraged, when people become inconsistent in their walk with God, you can almost always trace it to ingratitude. They've just forgotten to be thankful of all that God has done for them. But you know, a close cousin to ingratitude is to lose rejoicing. Amen? Amen. To stop being thankful, a close cousin to that is to stop rejoicing in God. I want to preach tonight, if there's anything missing in the church, if there's anything missing in worship, it's just a heartfelt rear back and rejoice in your worship before God. Amen. We've been to churches, and my wife said to me later, did you notice? You could look up front, you could look around, and the whole service, never see anybody smiling. I don't believe in that fake stuff either, but she has a point. Amen. I know we got troubles. I know we got difficulties. I know there's problems from school to work to home. But I'm telling you, we are the redeemed. We've been blood washed. We've been saved from sin. We've been saved from hell. Amen. We're going to a city. Hallelujah. I think we ought to have a rejoicing that comes from deep within. Amen. Not only is it missing in worship, it's missing in the life of a believer. I've never seen a time where so many believers individually are discouraged and depressed and thinking about throwing in the towel and giving up and giving in. I've got some instruction from the Bible tonight. If you're in that place, again, I don't minimize your difficulty, but don't give in, don't give out, don't give up. Amen. Don't be cave. Amen. Just throw back your hands, lift up your heart, and say, to rejoice is a choice. And whatever's going on in my life, I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice. Amen. It was while reading these Old Testament scriptures that it became so clear to me again that God wanted His people, His redeemed. He wants them to rejoice, especially as a part of their worship. I've got to tell you the truth. I was a little surprised. Oh, I've read through Deuteronomy many, many times. I was a bit surprised to find this theme in the Old Testament. I'm talking about law. I'm talking about enemies on every hand. I'm talking about a land that's yet to be possessed. I'm talking about a people that have been living in a wilderness for 40 years. And yet through Deuteronomy, the theme comes out clear. God said, you are my people. I have redeemed you. I'm showing you a plan for worship. And in that plan of worship, I want you to see that my worship, the worship of me, should be permeated with your rejoicing. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be wonderful every day, every time we came to the house of God, to come through those doors, and not after the third song, and not until the choir sings, but just come through the doors. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. God intended that to be a part of the worship of His people. In fact, here in Deuteronomy, God is instituting feast, and feast were festivities. That's what we would call them today, festivities. Feast were not a time of being depressed. Feast were not a time of mourning, but these festivities were a time so that the people of God could rejoice. That's what they were all about. We don't have festivities today. Oh, yes, we do. We've got Sunday morning. We've got Sunday night. We've got Wednesday night. Those are our festivities. Hallelujah. I haven't said it in a while, but every Sunday should be seen as a celebration, because we worship on Sunday to commemorate that that was the day that our Savior rose from the dead. Amen. I know we pray. I know we intercede in the house of God, but we should never forget this meeting is a festivity. It is to be a celebration. We are a redeemed people, and we can make the choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. I told you I was surprised to find it in the Old Testament, because when you think of the Old Testament and think of the law, you think of drudgery and duty and all that's wrong. But God wanted his people to come together and rejoice. The instance that I chose to read to you here was the institution of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I won't bore you with all the details. I will tell you that's the day that Jesus stood on the great day of the feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It was this Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. We've got used to the word tabernacles and not think about it, but literally the Feast of Tents. Why the Feast of Tents? Because once God's people got established in the land that God had given them, God never wanted them to forget the time that after he brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, he preserved them, protected them, and provided for them in that place called the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that they lived in a tent. And so even though now they're in the land of promise, or will be from this point of view, and they'll have houses of wood or stone, once a year they were to go to Jerusalem and to build a little booth. We call it in old days a brush arbor, a lean-to made out of twigs or whatever, and sometimes the cloth. They were to make a tent, and during that feast they were to dwell in it and give their thoughts to the time when God had provided for them in that awful wilderness. But you see, they would have never been in the wilderness had God not first delivered them from bondage. That's something they forgot, and sometimes a Christian does too. Many times we have tough experiences in life. Many times we have dry places and we get all caught up in the dry place. But you got to think of something. Why are you in a dry place? Because you were once a slave to Satan, but God delivered you out of bondage. Hallelujah. Amen. It was to commemorate that time. Amen. The first place they stopped when they came out of Egypt was Succoth. And that was the first place they built those booths. And God here is saying, for now on, when you get into that land that I promised you, amen, every year build that booth, build that lean-to, build that tabernacle like the ones in the wilderness, and then throw back your heart and rejoice that he brought you through. Hallelujah. He not only brought you out of Egypt's bondage, he brought you through the wilderness, and then you can go ahead and rejoice. Not only did he bring you out, not only did he bring you through, but he brought you in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now we can rejoice. He has brought us out. We can rejoice. He's bringing us through. And one day we're going to rejoice. He brought us in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, to rejoice is a choice. Amen. I could go on. I won't. But through the institution of this festivity, the Feast of Tabernacles, it is clear that God desires his people to be a rejoicer. People. Now I know it's given as an instruction, thou shalt rejoice, thou shalt rejoice, but I don't believe it's a forced thing to comply to God's command. I don't think he said, I'm going to force you to rejoice. This probably happened in your family too, but I remember as a child, you know, family pictures, and dad gets the camera set up on automatic timer. And then he runs to get in the picture. And the kids are fighting and frowning. And I remember one time my dad, when he'd get upset, he'd talk to his teeth. And we kids weren't cooperating. And all of a sudden dad said, I said smile. How many's had a similar experience? That really helps that little baby, you know. Smile. I don't think it's that kind of thing. I don't think it's dancing simply because bullets are being shot at your feet. It's none of that. God wasn't saying force yourself to rejoice. He was saying once you get there, you'll have every reason to rejoice. And if you'll just think about it, if you'll just think about it, If you'll just think about how I brought you out of bondage, if you'll just think about how I brought you through that great and terrible will, if you just think about how I brought you into the land of victory, you will rejoice. If you'll only choose to, you'll have every reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've heard me say it all summer. Somehow it stuck. Amen. But I've been saying all summer that worship is a choice. Worship is a choice. Somebody leaves and says, the service did not inspire me to worship. Others leave and say, the singing did not move me to worship. Some said, oh, that preaching, it never motivated me to worship. But think what you do when you say that. You are making worship about yourself. You're saying my worship must be a response to what I prefer, to what I like. It must be, worship must be a response to my taste. It's making worship about me. Oh, but worship isn't about me. It's about God. I don't worship because I like that song. I don't worship because they sang my song. I don't worship because that's my preacher. I worship because he is the Almighty God. And whatever else is happening in my life, and whether I like the singer or not, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay, and I choose to worship. I choose to worship. It's the same with rejoicing. I wonder what those Israelites were thinking. They've not yet made it to the promised land. They're not yet there. And yet he's instructing them to build tabernacles and rejoice over their time in the wilderness. Think about that. Rejoice over your time in the wilderness. How could they rejoice over their time in the wilderness? You know, I got to think about that. I'm not going to enumerate all that. But think about life in the wilderness. Scorpions. Snakes, sand, moms, sand in all the kids' shoes, sandals. How would you like to live? Sandstorms, enemies roundabout. Has anyone read that about in the wilderness for 40 years? No drinking water, and ever think, where do moms give the kids a bath? I'll be real discreet here, but they didn't have indoor plumbing. What about the restroom? You know, we make things real rosy for Bible characters and think they had an advantage on us. Oh, I covered that Wednesday night. Get the tape. Oh, we don't have tapes anymore. Get the CD. Oh, we don't have. Oh, we do have CDs, don't we? But really, we got an advantage over them. If they could rejoice, we got even more reason to rejoice. I mean, and God is telling them they're going to rejoice over their time in the wilderness? What a time was that? Well, I want to tell you some things real quickly here. How could they rejoice over the wilderness? Because first of all, they were no longer in bondage. They may have been in the wilderness, but that only meant one thing. They're no longer in chains. They're no longer under the whip of the taskmaster. Their babies are no longer being thrown to the crocodiles in the Nile River. They're no longer being forced to. Yes, they're in the wilderness, but they're no longer in bondage. In fact, some of the old Jewish rabbis said the purpose of that booth, that tabernacle, they were to build to say, you're no longer in the house of bondage. You are now in the tent of your freedom. Hallelujah. And I want to, just because I keep feeling impressed with this, I want to drive that home. I know we as Christians go through tough places. And sometimes we go through dry spells as individuals and as a church. But that only means one thing. If we're out in the wilderness, that only means one thing. We've been set free from the bondage. We've been set free from Egypt. Amen. You see, how can you rejoice over the wilderness? Because you're free. You've been set free. You've been delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Hallelujah. No more chains. My chains are gone. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can see? How can you rejoice? You say, you don't know what I'm facing this week. Yes, but your chains are gone. Glory to God. Can you rejoice over that? Hallelujah. No more bondage in my life. My chains are gone. They could rejoice over that second. They could rejoice that even in the wilderness, God provides provided for them, and whatever difficulties they encountered, God took care of their enemies. God took care of their lack of food. God took care of their lack of water. You say, how could they rejoice in the wilderness with scorpions and snakes and sandstorms? Storms. Yes, there was scorpions, but there was also every morning when they went out, there was a meal provided from heaven. I don't like the scorpions. I don't like the desert. But I'm telling you, you can rejoice because whatever you're going through, you came to church today and he dropped down manna from heaven to feed your soul. You said, what about the serpents? Yes, yes, yes. And what about the dryness? Yes. But what about those times you're so dry? Everything of your life is dry. You haven't felt God, and you get in the middle of a service and he opens up the rock and a stream of refreshment flows out. We've got reason to rejoice even in the wilderness. And so they could have rejoiced if they looked at the past. God set them free. They could rejoice if they looked at the present. God gave manna, water out of the rock, the feet of their enemies, fire by night, and a pillar of cloud to shade them by day. And they could rejoice because of their future. They were going to possess the land of promise, live in houses they did not build, eat the fruit of the vine they did not plant. Hallelujah. Drink from wells they did not dig. Glory to God. We've got every reason to rejoice. If ever there was an example of rejoicing by choice, it's the example of Paul and Silas. It's been preached about recently. I won't revisit it except to say there is an example. Amen. That to rejoice is a choice. They had no earthly reason for the Ryan to rejoice. They're in prison. They're in filth. They're in vermin. Amen. They're in stocks and bonds and physical chains. They've been beaten. They're friendless. And it's night. But in the darkness, oh, hallelujah, they said, my choice is to rejoice. Glory to God. I don't know what your darkness is. I don't know where the enemy's got you cornered, but I'm telling you, like Paul and Silas, you can make a choice. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do want to give caution. Music, would you come? You cannot rejoice if you're not doing right. You cannot rejoice if you're yielding to this world, if you're surrendering to this world. You know, one of the saddest things is to see somebody lose their joy of the Lord just to watch it happen. Amen. You can't rejoice if your heart is not set on pleasing God. You cannot rejoice if it's not in your heart, amen, to make it to heaven and to please the Lord. You cannot rejoice if you do not cherish what God has already done for you. Amen. You cannot rejoice unless you think about what it would be like if you had not been saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I just wanted to put this in here. I don't even know how it fits, but I want you to know God, he gives songs. He does not take them. It's the world that takes your song. It's the enemy that takes your song. But God gives you a song. Glory to God. Amen. The enemy came in Israel. They had to hang up their harps on the willows. The enemy took their song. But every time you have an encounter with God, he'll give you a song. He'll give you a rejoicing. You can choose to rejoice. I know there's a rejoicing over financial windfalls. Don't believe there's not. If you got a check for $10,000 in the mail tomorrow, you would rejoice. All right, I won't send you one then. Hallelujah. You would rejoice. There is a rejoicing over material success. There's a rejoicing over a good job and a promotion. There's a rejoicing over accomplishments. You make an A+ on your physics test. Amen. There's all that kind of rejoicing. But could I say that there is no rejoicing like the rejoicing over what God has done in your life, what God means to you. There's no rejoicing like that except the rejoicing when everything's wrong. The rejoicing when you can't even see the blessing, but you get in his presence and you're simply rejoicing because you're in his presence. There is no rejoicing like that. Hallelujah. I was talking to a pastor friend this week, and he's really going through it. And he was trying to describe to me how he felt. And I said, I know how you feel. It's when things have gone wrong for so long, life has been so serious and tough, you just wish you could have a big, unrestrained belly laugh. He said, that's it. Have you ever been there under the load, fighting, saying you just wish you could just... Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if you're here tonight. We're not even going to talk about your difficulties, but you're in a place that one of the things you so desire is to once again, unhindered, unhampered, just to throw back your heart and hands and just rejoice in God your Savior. Is there anyone like that tonight? The battle's there, the wilderness is there, the scorpions, the snakes, and everything else. But there's a longing in your heart. Not even to ask God to change anything. There's just a longing in your heart to get in His presence and throw up your hands and rejoice. Are you there tonight? You're not going to wait till the situation changes. You're going to choose to rejoice. Would you say it with me? We don't do this often. Would you say it with me? To rejoice is a choice. To rejoice is a choice. I'm not talking about hype. We have reason to rejoice. But whether we do it or not, that's a choice. I'm always hesitant to give sports illustration. I don't want to give credence to sports, and I don't know enough. I usually get myself in trouble. But a unique situation happened in 1982 in Madison, Wisconsin. An October afternoon, the Badgers were playing, whoever that is, Michigan State. And it became evident right off. Is it the Badgers? Is that right? That they were getting destroyed by Michigan State. I mean, the score was completely lopsided. And the Wisconsin's fan had stuffed that stadium. But here, the score being lopsided, every once in a while, and it got more and more frequent, every once in a while, here their team is losing. And all every once in a while, the Wisconsin fans were going crazy. They were standing up, shouting, clapping their hands. And the commentators are scratching their heads. What's happening here? Can't they see their team is losing? They're getting stomped. What's going on? Well, later somebody figured it out. On the same day, just 75 miles away, the Brewers were playing St. Louis. That's Cardinals in the World Series. And many of those fans, they were at the football game, but they had their portable, this dates it, they had their portable radios. And they were hearing that the Brewers, their baseball team, was beating the Cardinals in that game of the World Series. And so here in the stadium, it looked like they had every reason to be discouraged. Their team was losing. But there was a bigger game being played, and their team was winning. I want to tell you something. In your arena of life, many times in your little circle of life, it looks like your team is losing. But I want you to know, in the greater arena of life, I'm talking about where God does battle with Satan, where heaven, where light does battle with darkness. In the bigger arena of life, whatever's happening right now in your smaller arena of life, in the bigger arena of life, your team is winning. Your God is winning. Hallelujah. I said to rejoice is a choice. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want to give this altar call right now. If it's in your heart, you may be under tremendous pressure. You may be in dark times, hard times, sick times. But it's in your heart. You want to choose to rejoice. And you just want to rejoice. I want you to come and stand tonight, ladies over here. Men over here, just come and stand. And I just want you to throw back your hands and say, God, I choose to rejoice. I want you to think of what He brought you out of. I want you to think of what He's already brought you through. And I want you to think how He will bring you in to the promised land. Hallelujah. Would you come right now? You have a heart to rejoice. Others, just come and stand. Lift up your hands and say, I choose to rejoice. And I want you to rejoice. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Savior. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. I choose to rejoice. To rejoice is a choice. Yes, what about the wilderness? What about it? He brought you out of bondage. He brought you out of darkness. I choose to worship. I choose to rejoice. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Let victory come. Let victory come. Let victory come. Hallelujah.
Think about the Lord.
Oh, that's
how
it.
Saved me.
Rejoice till you feel the joy.
Me.
How rejoice till you feel the joy.
With the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. I choose to rejoice. To rejoice is a choice. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Wonderful. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy.
Of all the glory.
Of all the honor.
Of all the
praise. Hallelujah.
Makes me want to
shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you're worthy.
Oh, Lord, you're worthy.
All the glory. And all the honor.
Hallelujah.
And all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He went away.
Think about the Lord.
To prepare a place.
Think about how He brought
and
you out.
Coming back someday.
Think about what He's already done.
To take us away.
To rejoice is a choice.
Heaven,
can you rejoice tonight?
Death, there'll be no more
problems
tears,
can't keep you from rejoicing. Troubles can't keep you from rejoicing. Only
ground,
a heart that's not set on God. Only a heart that holds back from God. Only a heart that is in tune with the world.
Lord,
only a heart that has turned its direction. Those are the ones that can't rejoice. But if your heart is turned towards God, you can rejoice.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Oh, it makes me want to shout. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hallelujah,
thank you,
Jesus. Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
All the glory and all the honor and all
earthly
the
speaking,
praise.
You may have no reason to rejoice. But heavenly
when
speaking, you have every reason
the
to
Lord,
rejoice.
How He went away,
oh,
to prepare
hallelujah.
A place. How He's coming
hallelujah.
Back someday.
Hallelujah.
Coming to take us away.
Lord, I worship You. Lord, I praise You. I rejoice, my soul doth rejoice. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Oh church, let us exalt His name together. Let us magnify the Lord. Oh, hear what He says. Rejoice. Rejoice. Paul said, rejoice. And again I say to you, rejoice. That's New Testament now. Rejoice. And again I say unto you, rejoice. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody just praise God for victory right now. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I don't see the victory. From heaven's point of view, you're going to have it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All of the praise makes me want to shout hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
Lord,
you, Jesus.
You're worthy of
Lord,
all
you're
of
worthy.
The glory and
oh,
all the honor and all of the
oh,
praise.
Hallelujah. 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 If you're through praying, pray for your neighbor tonight. Hallelujah. You can rejoice together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.